fireproof stuff. I didn't know I'd need my fireproof stuff. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 is where we will begin. If, hey, where's your Bibles? What are you doing? This is the one time that I'm not okay with you getting up and doing whatever you're doing. The one moment when we're about to read the Bible. Okay, let's all stand on our feet. We got a long passage, so please be respectful to the Word of God. And if your feet start cramping, you have my permission to stretch them. Do like that. Okay, verse 12, chapter 10. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of, or is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us a supernatural ability to understand your word. We need your spirit flowing through us so that we can distinguish between what is for us and what are the things of this world that are trying to distract us. So help us to take our hearts, take our minds off of this world and paste our thoughts and our hearts completely on you. We love you so much. We give you this time. I ask that you'd speak through me clearly in a way that we can all take something and grow individually, but also as a whole group together. We love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So any of you guys, what do you, what? Yes, what?
Can I go get some water?
Yes.
You'll have a tape for you.
Well, that was because we were about to read the Bible. So, do we have any trivia fans in here? Bible trivia fans? Yes? I'm not a big Bible trivia guy, but some people are into that sort of thing. So, okay, guys. Hey, guys, grab a seat. Jared, you can get your water, but other than that, sit down. Oh, don't worry about it. If it's water, it's going to dry. It's called, whatever it's called. What's that word?
Evaporation.
Yes, that's it. It's gonna go up into the clouds of this room. Shh. But back to what I was saying. So this chapter is one of the few chapters of the Bible where the people who split up the chapters made a mistake. Because verse 1 of chapter 11, where Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ," is 100% about everything in chapter 10 and has nothing to do with chapter 11. So just in case you don't know, when they wrote the Bible, they didn't split it into verses and chapters. They did that later on, splitting it into logical thoughts so we could find spots easier. And occasionally they make mistakes, and this is one of those mistakes. That has nothing to do with the teaching. That was just a cool, if you're like storing up Bible trivia in your mind, you can be like, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a mistake. But it's not like the whole thing's a mistake, just the way they split it is a mistake. So, back to the teaching. We've been covering liberties for like 3 weeks now, and now we've arrived at our last teaching looking at liberties. And you might be thinking to yourself, Isaac, are you serious? We have done liberties 3 weeks in a row. Isn't this kind of overkill? I might be kind of beating a dead horse, if you know the phrase. Yeah, beating a dead horse. But let me just say that I don't choose the topics on Sundays. On Sundays, we just move through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So I just move in the order that it's written, and I pray about what God might want us to focus on. But I still don't think that this has been overkill, and I'll give you a few reasons why. One, liberties are so relevant to your guys' age group right now. Because you may not know this, but youth, which is what you are a part of now, is so different from children's. When you were a children, you did not think as a youth. And now that you're a youth, you're starting to think more as a youth. And obviously for different people, it's different ages. But in general, junior high is where you start to kind of explore the great wide open. Like in Finding Nemo, you swim into the drop-off. You explore the drop-off. And then you get kidnapped by P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. But yeah, so this is that time where as you go on to high school, college, you're going to be exploring things that are liberties in the world. Things that aren't directly sins in Scripture that we technically have the freedom to explore. And so having a good foundation of this will really help you as you grow and where you are currently. Second, Paul spends 3.5 chapters in a 16-chapter letter talking about liberties to the young Christians of Corinth. So you would assume that if he spends 3.5 chapters in this relatively short book of the Bible, it's kind of long for Paul, but it's pretty short in terms of other books. When we see that he spends 3.5 chapters explaining liberties to young Christians, we should go, okay, there's got to be something important. Paul wouldn't spend all that time unless it truly was valuable. Third, a good understanding of liberties, having that doctrinal foundation like we talk about, where it's really, you don't just know what theology talks about, but you know the reasons behind it, the why behind the what that we read in Scripture. If you have that doctrinal foundation of liberties, it'll help you grasp things like fasting, which is kind of like one of those, almost like a taboo Christian topic, like, oh, fasting, isn't that for the high and mighty who aren't righteous and set apart? But no, fasting is a casual Christian thing that Christians should be doing relatively, not frequently, but regularly. It should be a common thing. And having an understanding of liberties will help us grasp fasting. It'll help us grasp legalism when we come to that topic later on in 1 Corinthians. And it will help us grasp hypocrisy and a few other Christian topics that are kind of a little more like harder to grasp. And then finally, it'll help you answer hot topic questions. And here's what I mean by hot topic questions. Questions where maybe kids at school or your friends here at church say, hey, do you think I can watch that movie? Or do you think I can read that book? Or do you think, are Christians allowed to listen to that music? And you, because you have a foundation built on the doctrine of liberties, you don't just know what they are, but you know Paul's full doctrinal background behind liberties, you can answer that question like in a real genuine way. You can answer the hot topic questions. So today, for our last week looking at liberties, we're going to take off from where we left off last week. Last week, we started looking at some important reasons to be careful when it comes to choosing our liberties. And we broke it into two parts. First, in chapter 9, we saw that we need to be careful when choosing our liberties for the gospel's sake. And I love that. It's so happy. It's like, but then in chapter 10, today, we're going to see how we need to be careful when choosing our liberties for the glory's sake. That's even happier. That one gets me. Like, I feel like in the morning I should be like, like I should look at that every morning. And it's just, doesn't it kind of just lift your spirits? It's like fresh Kool-Aid. Huh? Fresh Kool-Aid. So today we're going to look at for the glory's sake. And we're going to look at this the same way we did last week. We'll examine some key words that Paul mentions in the passage, and then we'll see how these apply to the way that we should be choosing our liberties for the glory's sake. And the teaching today should kind of serve as a conclusion to an essay. Do you guys write essay conclusions?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about when I say conclusions are my least favorite part of an essay. Like, I'm not gonna brag, but I can whip out an intro so, like I'm so good at intros. Well, I'd need time. But, like, on all my essays, teachers are like, good intro. And then everything else, they're like, that's what they say about it. They just, like, red marker, and they write that. They just write red marker. But the reason, what'd you say? The reason it's kind of like a conclusion of an essay, because what do you guys do in a conclusion of an essay? Does anybody know, like, you're skilled in writing and you know? Yeah, what do you do? Yeah. Shh, he's got the floor. Well, give me an example. So I just wrote an essay. I've got my intro, like three body paragraphs. Now what do I do in the conclusion?
You say read.
Emily? Did you say summarize it? Wait. I saw the hand mode. Is that like bring it all together? Okay. Yes, I can read those sign language. Restate your thesis. Intro backwards. Debatable. Yeah, I would agree. Intro backwards is actually a pretty good way to look at it. Maybe that's why I'm so bad at conclusions, because I'm good at intros. So when they want me to flip it backwards, I'm like, no, I can't. But, so, okay, in a good conclusion, we have to first summarize what we've talked about. If you don't know this, that's what they expect of you. You're supposed to summarize your main points. And I hate doing that, because it's like, I just spent three paragraphs telling you all this, why do you need me to remind you? But we do it. And then we have to, like, sum it all up, like, say something like, and that's why I believe dolphins are an important species. Dolphins. That's why I believe dolphins are so important to the aquatic lifestyle. And then we restate our thesis. So this teaching today, it will kind of show us the main reason behind some of the things we've discussed earlier on, and it will bring it all to a grand conclusion. It's not going to be grand. You guys aren't going to be like weeping. I might weep. But that's just because I'm delicate. Just kidding. So our main focus today, we're going to look at three words that show us how to be careful when we choose our liberties for the glory's sake. And then we'll bring this whole topic of liberties to a close. So the three things we're going to look at is 1, temptation, 2, edification, and then 3, glory. I tried to make them all rhyme, but I couldn't do it. I don't know what an Arizona accent is. I feel like Arizona would be like, Arizona would be like temptation, edification, glory. So yeah, if you're taking notes, you can jot those down. I tried to make them all rhyme, but I could not get that last point to rhyme. Yeah, Savannah? Okay, see, yes, that's what I thought. But hear me out. Glorification means something totally different. Because if we glorify something, we're putting it above ourselves. But glorification is what we call, like, when we go to heaven and we receive our glorified bodies, that's the process of being glorified. That's what glorification is. So I could have put that, and it would have rhymed, but it would have been confusing. Maybe. Maybe I should just should have put that. Okay, so we're going to start looking at temptation. Paul opens up the chapter... Paul opens up the chapter of Corinthians... chapter 10, with a history lesson. That's why we didn't read the whole chapter, because he literally gives the people of Corinth a history lesson. And he shows them how the people of Israel, the children of Israel, how they make mistakes and then suffer for it. And this is what we see pretty much in probably like 80% of the Old Testament. From Exodus to where the children of Israel are taken away from Egypt, to them, like, getting into the promised land and then becoming a nation and, like, all of that good stuff. It's always about the children of Israel getting, like, one leg up, like, they're kind of getting serious about their relationship with God, and then they make a mistake, and they suffer for it, or their leader makes a mistake, and they totally suffer for it. And this is what we see from Exodus, so Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, all the way, or... yeah, second book of the Bible, all the way to the prophets, who are the last books in the Old Testament. Mind blown. But the reason he tells them this history, he gives them this history lesson, is to remind them of the importance of avoiding temptation. Because they look back at the past of the children of Israel, and they would get one step forward, something shiny would catch their eye, and then they'd make a mistake, and like a generation would suffer for that, or even longer they would suffer for that. So a temptation, by definition, this is a common word we use in the church, but maybe you don't know the strict definition is, shh, guys, if you're too loud, I will have to like make you sit downstairs. No, I'm not upset. You just can't be too loud. Just can't be too loud, guys. So, temptation. What it is an attraction to sin, whether arising from desires or from outward circumstances. So, this means two things. That temptation comes in two ways. One, it comes from inward desires. This is like when you're sitting on the couch, looking at a white wall, and like nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden you get that desire that just comes from completely inside, nothing outward, to do something. And you're like, I don't even want to do that, but I have this weird desire to do that. And that's that inward desire. That's the inward desires of the flesh. And that's what it's talking about when it says arising from the desires, the inward desires. But temptation also comes from outward situations. And that's when you're like walking through life and someone's like, hey, dude, check out this perverted joke. And you're like, oh, no, run, retreat. Or like you're moving through Facebook and then that like inappropriate thing comes up and you're like, ah, no. Abort this mission. But so, yeah, that's when you're going through life and temptation kind of comes your way. So some temptation either comes from within or it comes from without. Yes. No, stop! That's the worst thing. So, check this out. In verse 13, it says, the temptations in your life, this is the NLT, so it's different. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Shh. This is telling us, that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can always say no to. He won't let temptation come into our life that is impossible for us to say no to. But this doesn't mean that God restricts the liberties that we can have in our lives. So we can cause ourselves to be tempted beyond what we can handle by the liberties that we are allowing into our lives. God's not going to tempt you beyond what you can say no to, but we can cause ourselves to be tempted beyond what we can say no to by the liberties we're letting in our lives. We have to consider the possibility of temptation coming from the liberties that we let into our lives. Our senior pastor, Pastor Damien, he commonly says that the one place we should be tempted the least is our home. As Christians, that's an example of temptation. Y'all would give right into temptation. Here's what our pastor says. He says this somewhat regularly, that the one place we as Christians should be tempted the least, the one place we should be kind of in spiritual rest, is our home. Because we live in a world where temptation is going to come at us from literal billboards. We can be driving down the street and a billboard can tempt us. Or we can be like having to get onto a website at school, or having to read something because of school, or talking to friends who are tempting us because of what they're doing at school, or like everything school. What else? We could be at the playground, because I know you guys love the playground. Library. Who? You do not go to the library. Did you say library? No, you don't. No, you don't. What? Skate park? Library? No. Why? Who? Do you guys go to libraries?
No.
I literally. Okay. This is probably gonna upset some of you. I drove by the Modesto Library yesterday and thought to myself, why does that thing still exist? I was, because everything's online now. Like, if I want a book, I rent it on Amazon. I was just like, why? That thing, it's so big. You could put a park there or something. So many books. Where was my point? Okay, so yeah, there's so many at the library, so many things that are going to tempt us when we're checking out books. But our home should be the one place that we should be tempted the least. It should be the place that we can spiritually let our hair down, if you're tracking with me. You know what I'm saying? But in America, this is so often missed. Probably not just America, but because of our technology in America, it's very often missed. Because people come home and that's the place they're most tempted because of maybe the internet access they have. So they're tempted in their like office room, living room, whatever. They're tempted to watch a movie because of the TV they have, Netflix or whatever. They're tempted to do whatever's going on at home in their bedroom, and that's the place of the most temptation, but it should be our sanctuary. You know, like back in the day where, like, medieval times, they'd run to a sanctuary and be like, sanctuary, and it meant that you're safe there, you're at peace. But for so many Christians, they get home, and it's a spiritual, temptational battleground. Like, and that's not the way it should be. And we need to take our liberties into consideration. Some of us, the liberties that we think we have are just tempting us in incredible ways, like that mouse trap. Yes.
Yes.
It'll trap you. It looks good, but it'll trap you. And those traps are laid out all over the world. And the last place we need those is our home. The last place we need them is our home. So the first way to glorify God in the liberties that you choose is to make sure that they're not setting you up for temptation. Make sure that they're not tempting you beyond what you can handle, beyond what you can say no to. Now, second is the word edification. This is our second point. Verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now, this is definitely a word that we do not use regularly. If you do, you're probably really cool, and I'm like way behind in the lingo. But maybe you do. Does anybody know what edify means? This is the ultimate test. Okay, Serafina first. To build you up, is that what you're gonna... Oh my goodness! Yes! How? Oh! A++. If church was graded, you guys would be definitely passing. Good thing church is not graded, right? So yeah, that's exactly right. It was to build up. But what it is to build up, it's a metaphor. Because literally what it meant was to, like, when someone would build a building, they would have to build it from the ground up. But what it is it's a metaphor. Do you guys know what this is?
No.
Okay, check this out. This thing is the coolest thing. I think it's Japanese or Chinese. And what it does is all they have to do is build the pillars, and it's a self-building train bridge. It's a train bridge that builds itself. So it probably needs like a driver, and there's a couple guys who like make sure everything's moving right. I think the guys in the yellow vests, those little dots right there, those are people making sure it goes right. But all it does is it'll build the bridge, and then it reaches its arms forward and grabs onto the pillar and moves up and like plants the next piece, sews it down, and then reaches forward, moves up. It's like the Lego builder's dream, right? So cool. Oh wow. So I know. Well, obviously they've already done something like that, because this is real, guys. This is real. This is not computer generated. That's a real thing. Yeah, I think it's because it's blurry, because it's from a video. You can Google that and you can watch it. You can watch it build it. No. Man, I just lost my place. So yeah, it was a metaphor because they're not literally like building things. Like they didn't have team building things in the Church of Corinth where they'd like build stuff. What it meant is it's a metaphor that was to promote the growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness. You guys know what a metaphor is? It's like if I'm like, that person's a cat, he climbs on walls. Like, that's really dumb. But that's a metaphor. It's you know, you're using an example or a word to explain something further. And he's saying that the Christians in the church, we want to build them up in their walk with God in wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. Paul reminds us earlier in the chapter that as Christians, we are all one body in Christ. So though we are separate humans who do our own thing, make our own decisions, go our own ways in life, we all come together when we accepted Jesus in our hearts. We all come together to make the one single, whole, and complete body of Christ. And this is important because if one part of a body is hurt, the whole body suffers. So you know what this is like. You wake up in the morning and you forget about that cabinet next to your bed or the chair, and you stub your pinky toe on it, and you're like groggy, you're in a hurry, you slept in too late, and you stub that pinky toe. And you guys know that pain. It's fierce. Like, it's insane. Especially when you've just woken up, because it's like, it like shatters everything that you've ever known to be true in life. It's like, you have to go and rethink your life because you stubbed your pinky toe. And it's ridiculous, because that thing is tiny. Like, mine, I don't think my pinky toe is used for anything because it is so, it's like so tiny, it's so small. But when it gets stubbed, oh my goodness, I am dancing. Like I'm doing like the whole like, ah, oh, like you guys know, the hurt toe dance. And the point is that little body part, when it gets hurt, the whole body is affected by it. So Paul says, Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So as Christians, we are no longer like our own person. It's no longer me, myself, and I, my way or the highway. You know how it is, me, myself, and I. But now we have to look out for the success of other Christians. We have to look out for the other members of the body of Christ to make sure that they are growing as well. Because if we tear them down in any way, if we hurt them, harm them spiritually, the whole body suffers. Though they are the ones who are hurt, the whole body of Christ is affected in a negative way. So we need to make sure that we are building up the Christians who are around us and not tearing them spiritually down. And Paul tells us that an easy way to tear down a Christian is to engage in a liberty that offends the conscience of that Christian. So we all have like a conscience, and most of the time it's the Spirit of God saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. But sometimes it's just us saying it's something that we're uncomfortable with, or something that we don't have the freedom to do, even though it's definitely okay to do it. And Paul's saying that if I offend another Christian's conscience, if I go beyond what their conscience is okay with, and it offends that part of their conscience, I have torn them down. It is an easy way to tear down a Christian whose conscience can be offended in that way. So we cannot be honoring to God with our liberties if they are causing other members of the body of Christ to be torn down. We just cannot do it. So we have to make sure that our liberties are not offending the conscience of Christians around us. Grace, you had a question? Was it about the pinky toes?
Yeah.
What were you going to say? You held a... Wait, what did you say?
I fell out of my bed. And I covered my cheek or whatever. And I didn't wake up. It's like my mom had like pain, and she like, there was like a big thud on the floor because I had fallen. And then like, I didn't even wake up. She would put a band-aid on and stuff.
Oh.
And like, cleaned it, and I didn't wake up until the next morning.
I know a guy who broke his arm in bed. Like, asleep, he broke his arm.
How?
I don't know, but did you know like, sleeping is one of the most dangerous things we do? Because, like, you're more likely to die from sleeping than a shark attack. Like, by, like, being attacked by your pet. Because your sheets can suffocate you, or you can break an arm. Yeah. Not the most, but... Yes. What are you going to say?
Uh-huh. And he was walking, he stubbed his, I'm not sure which toe it was, probably his pinky.
Probably.
And he yelled, "Who put the desk there?"
That's true. I've been there.
It's been there.
Okay, sorry guys, we gotta move on. No, if you have really good pinky stories, tell me later, because I love them. No, I mean, they can be about whatever. Okay, so our last point is the glory. If you forgot how to spell glory, it's right there in big letters. So verse 31 is literally my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It's so near and dear to my heart. I love it. Like, I could do a whole teaching on it, but it would probably be cheesy because I like it so much. So I won't. I'll spare you the cheesiness. But verse 31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." And this is, if you guys take anything from all that we've covered about liberties, this is the most important thing that you need to take away from the topic. The most important. If you take nothing, please take this. That all that we do needs to be done to the glory of God. It has to be honoring to Him. Now, this doesn't mean that everything we do needs to have like a worship song playing in the background. Like, it doesn't mean that our life is now a like worship music video and we're just like, da, 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 Jesus, holy, hallelujah. Like, Christian music videos. Have you ever watched a Christian music video?
Yeah. No.
They're so cheesy. I mean, some of them are coming around finally, but usually it's like sad people, and then it's for some reason it ends with them like looking up happy, and it's just like, okay, cool, cool story, bro, but I don't know.
No, please, no, don't bring it back.
I'll bring it back.
No.
Yeah. Tiny Dancer? Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer. It's definitely Tiny Dancer. No. So, a lot of people think that to do everything to the glory of God, that your life is now like a worship musical. Like, and you're gonna live a life of worship and glory, and it's gonna be like you'll walk in the doors and be like, hallelujah, praise Jesus. And I knew people like that growing up. They were really cool. But it's not necessary. Put the chips away, guys. This is the most important part of the whole series. So please just tune in for these last 7 minutes. This doesn't mean that everything is just like ha-has and praise and holy, holy, hallelujahs. No. And it's often unclear of how we can do everything to the glory of God. And I think Paul gives us a good test or a good determiner so that we can find out if what we're doing is honoring to God. And I call it, brace yourself, the glory test.
Oh, no.
Praise the Lord. And here's what it is. Here's the glory test. I'm going to walk you through it. It's a very basic test, but it might change your life. So be prepared. Verse 30 says, if I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? And that is the test. That's the whole thing. So if you have a liberty in your life and you're like wondering, I wonder if this thing glorifies God. Next time you're engaged in that liberty, see if you can genuinely pray a prayer of thankfulness to God for that thing. Now, some of you, the song or the movie or the book that you had in your mind, you're like, oh, no way, I could never thank God for that. Then maybe it's not a liberty. And like, so often, Christians will, they'll listen to songs for the beat. But if you're like, in that moment, Lord, thank you for this beat and for this rapper. And I thank you that I can't listen to a single word it says, but I still thank you for the beat. You cannot genuinely do that. And this is the real test to see if what you're engaged in, what you're doing, if it is honoring to the Lord. So next time you're watching like your favorite TV show, like binging it, because I'm sure you... Nobody has cable. Netflix, YouTube, whatever. See if you can, while you're doing it, don't like pause it, turn it off. See if you can thank God for it. And some of us, that sounds crazy. What? Thank God for that TV show? What? Thank God for that song or that movie? But if you can't, is it really honoring to God? If you can't say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this cartoon and for the benefit that it has on my life. In some cases, yes, because comedy, God is not against comedy. In the Bible, God talks about like comedy and laughter being good for the spirit. But you guys know that there are some things that you simply cannot genuinely thank God for. And those are those things, guys, stop. Those are those things that will be dishonoring to God. So most of the time, if you have a liberty and you cannot in the moment thank God for it, and you can't genuinely pray that thankfulness, then it may not be glorifying to God. It may not be a liberty that honors God. And this is so important because Paul tells us, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And it's not impossible. You can glorify God in all that you do. You just need to put it to test. You need to apply this to your lives. And you guys can do that. So, if you take anything from the whole topic of liberties, know that our reason to live on planet Earth is to glorify God in all that we do. And the way to test that is to see if you can thank Him for all that you're doing. And it's a genuine test. So let's pray to close it out and give this theme up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have to grow deeper in You, to grow together and to know You more. We pray that this theme of liberties wouldn't just be on our mind now and quickly fade away, but that it would be something that changes our lives as we try new things in this world and understand new things about this world. And we pray that all that we do, that we would seek to glorify You in our school and our friendships and what we watch and what we listen to, that You would be glorified in it all. We love You so much. We give You this whole week. We pray that You'd be glorified in the Super Bowl, however that can happen, and that You would just bless the rest of this day. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Y'all are good to go.